Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Acknowledge me. Right?
Roman Reigns suddenly sound like Marv Albert here?
Is that what they say?
No, it's more like this, though.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me.
I don't even know what that means.
I think it's acknowledge him as the tribal chief. That's what he would do when he was the big heel. He was the head of the table,
Troy
Donnie.
Troy Fautanu. Donnie calling him the Samoan bulldozer.
Fautanu. It's Fautanu. Do, 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 do.
Can we get the guy who made that song? Like the Here We Go Steelers. Here We Go Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. To do a remix on Palomalu and make it Fautanu.
How about we get the guy who did the Hey Hoo Ha, It's the Pony Express song?
That's
hey,
right.
Hoo,
he
ha,
might be listening.
It's Troy Fautanu.
Mr. Chris Muller just doing fine.
That's a deep cut I wish we still had.
We do, actually.
We have it?
We do.
Oh, that's a glorious one. Pony, I'll start again today. I'm just hijacking this from you. What did you hear from me for the last 2 months so much that you got sick of it?
That you wanted Amarius Mims.
And what happened with Amarius Mims?
He got stolen by the Bengals, and I pictured you crying. And thinking of him blocking T.J. Watt and neutralizing T.J. Watt.
Yep.
You don't sound like you're in a bad mood, though.
Nope. Well, here's what's going to happen.
I'm not sensing melancholia.
No, you're
there.
Not. No, this is not melancholy in the infinite sadness.
I'm not even
great
sensing
album.
Resting bitch face Chris Muller, which we get
no,
quite
well,
often here.
That might be because I got out and played 18 holes and was done by like 10:15 this morning, which is a great feeling. No,
were you in the group ahead of Starkey?
I was first group out.
Congratulations
on
all your
which
success.
Was very nice. And the person, so I had a buddy who could play about 11 of the holes with me, and then he had to leave. There was a guy pushing us, a single guy in a cart. We chatted. We played the rest of the round. He goes, oh, I know Joe Starkey out here. He's out here almost every day in the summer. Tell him, you know, Dave, Tall Dave said hi.
Tall Dave. Was he tall?
Very tall.
Taller than Fautanu?
He might have been, actually, yeah. He was probably 6'3",
concerns 6'4". About Fautanu's height.
I have no concerns.
Quarter inch too short.
No concerns.
Not tall enough to ride.
Yeah. You must be this tall to block. No, I was a big Amarius Mims guy when the Bengals took him because Doran was having his usual night where he was just tipping picks, which I love. I retweeted every one of them up to that, and then I just went, no! But they got a guy that was projected, and I have to be honest about this, as better than Mims, as a surer thing, a pretty much an instant starter is everything I heard about him. A guy who, if you needed him to, could play multiple positions on the offensive line. A guy who was mocked mostly as a 10 to 12 range guy. And people would rank their entire board. He was in that 10 to 12 range. I have to acknowledge that I wanted Mims because I think they're onto something with Georgia players, and I think Mims could end up being really good. They got one of the handful of players where if you'd have played the exercise pony with me, hey, if Mims but Latham is available, who would you take there? Fautanu was one of a handful of players where I would have been, like, sweating it, deciding whether I really wanted to keep with my Amarius Mims
pick. We didn't spend a ton of time on him because I think we assumed he was not going to make it to the Steelers at 20. So that's why he was not really a big focal point. And then yesterday there was the generational talent, Graham Barton. They must have been weeping. Someone must have been asking for Kleenex in that war room when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took Graham Barton with the 25th pick.
Generational
getting
Graham.
The generational talent, yeah.
I don't believe that for a second now. I mean, it's clear in retrospect that what Jerry wrote, and I'm going to be kind to Jerry here, what Jerry, I'm sure, was told was a smokescreen.
Well, how about trading up for Quinyon Mitchell with the 12th pick? He was still on the board, and they didn't do that either.
Well, hold on. This is me.
There was more smoke than
I didn't really ever,
Snoop Dogg's man cave.
Yeah, I didn't believe that. That
this
smoke
team, there was smoke galore.
No, generational
Cheech
Graham
and
though,
Chong were calling reporters.
Wiz Khalifa the last few in days. The draft room. No, I didn't. If you have a generational talent, even if he plays a less valued position like center relative to tackle, you take him if he's there. It doesn't matter who's there. So they clearly did not think the guy was generational. If they thought, like I did, Roma Dunze could be a generational wide receiver and Roma Dunze somehow slid down in the draft, they would have taken him at 20. Do you agree with me?
Of course.
So clearly they did not view Barton as such because they took a player who I think could be a very good player, a Pro Bowler, maybe an All-Pro if things break his way. If they thought Graham Barton was going to anchor center and be the best in the league for 10 years, they would have taken him. So I think that was a smokescreen. They got a very good player. There are, I think, is other than like your team picks the player you personally wanted them to pick, which I got to enjoy last year. Actually, I did with Porter Jr. too, despite the fact that his dad once was ready to kick my ass. He was the guy I wanted them to pick at 32, and they did. Beyond that scenario, the best situation that I think can happen for your team on draft night is a player that the consensus agrees is sliding down the board for no good reason, or because in this case, six quarterbacks went in the top 12. That player falls in your lap and you just get to do the easy turn in of the card because there's no thought required. That's the next best scenario. It happened when DeCastro slid, right? Can you think of another one where the Steelers had a guy just fall into their laps?
Ben.
You could say that.
Like, absolutely. He could have been the first quarterback off the board in that draft. They got him at the 11th pick.
Right. Could have gone
guys
to,
like,
you know,
Keenan
four.
Winslow and Reggie Williams got picked ahead of him.
Kellen
Winslow.
You know, like, so the one that's very much in my brain right now, because everyone talks about it as such, is when DeCastro slid. DeCastro is one of the best guards in the league. This reminds me of that in terms of how it fell into their lap.
I like that comparison. Now, the reason, at least last night, that was given for why Fautanu was sliding was because of medical, that he had a red flag knee.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to Dr. David Chow today.
An expert.
Sports doc on Twitter. Hundreds of thousands of followers. The old Chargers doctor. He called me from San Diego, even though it was Pacific time. He called me very early this morning, and we talked about it. And his take to me was that there are no red flags.
No red flags.
Doesn't see a red flag. Yep, he had a ACL injury. Never missed a start, by the way, at Washington his last 2 years. ACL, he said eventually he'll probably have to get that scoped out when he's older. Doesn't see anything that makes him think he's going to need serious knee surgery anytime soon. And had a Liz Frank injury a few years ago.
Oh, we hate Liz Frank.
There's still, I guess, some Liz Frank stiffness, but he said that's also normal and not unusual. So nothing that would have made him, if he were the Steelers team doctor, say, hey, be careful about picking this guy.
I don't think as much as I feel like the Steelers clearly like the guy, you don't pick a guy if there's, in the first round, if there's medical red flags.
No, I mean, that's why Darnell Washington fell in the draft last year, but he fell multiple rounds. And at that point, the Steelers said, we don't care. It's too good to pass up the value on him with this pick. Value is the operative word here. The way I look at it, I give this an A. I gave it an A- last night. That's when I thought the injury concern was greater. The thing that only thing that dings it, nitpicky, from an A+ to an A, is that he's a little bit older. He played 5 years. He's a late bloomer. He didn't start his first 3 years. Last two, though, was the best left tackle in the Pac-12 by far. His peers, defensive lineman in that league, said he was the toughest offensive lineman they went up against. And by the way, Fuaga was one of those offensive linemen, too, from Oregon State, who went to New Orleans with the 14th pick, and I would have been fine with him.
So you're giving it an A.
I'm giving it an A, and I'm going back to what you said about the way that this has been, the way the player was evaluated before last night. Mel Kiper Jr. had Fautanu as the 10th best player in the draft. Daniel Jeremiah had him as the 11th best player. Jeremiah had him ranked ahead of Fashanu from Penn State, mm-hmm. who never gave up a sack in college,
mm-hmm.
and went with the 10th pick, and had him rated ahead of J.C. Latham,
who went
with the 7th pick.
Yeah, second tackle
of the draft.
Excuse me, off the board. Yep.
So we're getting someone that, here, guys, they're not always right, but they cover this year-round. They looked at this guy as a top 10 player, and the Steelers got him 10 picks later. And above all else, and this is why I think, and I'm going to open up the phone lines right now because I want to hear if Steelers fans share our excitement and positivity on this pick. I think they will, but I actually don't want to have to guess. I want to hear it at 412-928-9370. And if for some reason there are fans out there who are lukewarm or don't like it, I'm opening up the phone lines to them too at 412-928-9370.
I do give it an A-minus, by the way. You gave it an A. Yeah. I'm giving it an A-minus.
What's the ding for you?
It wasn't Amarius Mims, and I like being right.
Okay. All right, so I'm giving it an A. It puts Dan Moore Jr. either on the bench or on the unemployment line. And I'm just so happy when teams stop acting like they know more than their fans who live and die with their team and watch them play every game. We have known for 2 years that this guy is a pathetic left tackle. That's not subjective. The numbers back that up. Dan Moore last year gave up 55 pressures. That was the second most of any offensive lineman, regardless of position in the NFL.
Three.
55. His PFF pass blocking grade was the worst in the NFL. He gets beaten like a rented mule over and over and over again, and they've been trying to convince us for years that they're right and we're wrong about him. And finally, they came to their senses last night. Now, it still remains to be seen who plays left tackle, who plays right tackle. I thought Tomlin's answer on that last night was instructive. Jim Harbaugh in L.A., said right away when they picked Joe Alt, nope, he's a right tackle even though he only played left because we have Slater. Slater's our left. This guy's going to be our right. He's going to the right
side. I have a strong opinion on that won't surprise
you. We did not get that last night. We got he's a tackle. He ain't a center. He ain't a guard, even though that's what some of the draft people are saying. He's a tackle and we'll figure it out. So he left the door open for Fautanu to play left or right, but overall what it does is it takes a very, very weak link at an extremely important position on the field, and it renders him to backup status, which I love.
Which Mims wouldn't have done. Fautanu's going to start week one.
He has to. He's 23, going to be 24 midseason.
He's also a right tackle. He was not a blindside tackle in college. Penix is a lefty. He was playing on the strong, whatever you want to call it, side. He should play right, and Jones should play left. I know Jones is a big, bad bully. I know that Jones, they're both good athletes. But when I see Fautanu on tape, I just see a guy that wants to maul people.
You want tape.
Oh, tape.
You were not watching highlights.
No,
you
not
went
digital.
To tape.
Tape. Oh yeah. And I see a mauler, and I want the maulers to play at right tackle.
Now I'm taking your opinion on this even more seriously than I had prior. Now that tape
has
is
come
being
into
consumed.
Pony, you
Donnie,
love me. I love to consume.
Have you dug into tape yet?
Tape.
I've watched a little bit on our.
You've gone tape, or are you still on highlights?
I saw the little viral clip that.
He's on clips. He hasn't gotten to tape yet.
Now, where are you on all this?
I'm just highlights.
So, what is the hierarchy? Tape is king of the mountain.
Oh, mountaintop. You're really.
Then you go, I think, highlights, but then when you get down to clips, Donnie, you got to get on our level here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You know, his commitment to the game, his passion for the game really was very evident in communicating with him. That was relayed to us by those that had an opportunity to not only coach him, but we talked to a lot of guys that played with him. His passion is real. It is a calling card coupled with his tremendous athletic talent.
The passion bucket is runneth over. It is spilling everywhere with Troy Fautanu, a Steeler lover who has a soft spot for Big Ben. He was tweeting about that several years ago. He wore number 43 before he became an offensive lineman because he worshiped at the altar of one Troy Polamalu. He was voted the best Polynesian college football player in all of America last year. And so he will carry on that tradition. He'll grab that torch from Troy and he'll run with it and he'll block his ass off this year. So I love this pick. And it's been, I think, universally praised. Dane Brugler said as much today, the draft guru, near universal approval rating with scouts. And they can disagree on a lot, those scouts.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen some of those scout cut-ups. Remember that scene in Moneyball? They're going back and forth, talking about the guys, Johnson walking into the room before he did. An ugly girlfriend.
Ugly
talk.
Girlfriend. Oh, the ugly girlfriend.
We know how these
talk.
Scouts can tear into people. And there was none of that going on with Fautanu, apparently.
Well, they'll no longer have to try to recreate Dan Moore in the aggregate. They just got a way better football player.
We have some clips from the draft. Knicks reacting in real time to this pick. Let's start with Mike Renner, who is now with Bleacher Report, was on Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud's draft show last night. This is what he thought of the Fautanu pick.
So he played left tackle at Washington. I think they need center, though. I think he's five-position versatility. That's what, like, I saw.
He can play center.
I think he could play center for them because that's where their biggest need is. And truly, just with his movement skills, with his hand usage, truly some of the best hand usage in this draft class. Has a great snatch move to really, when guys long arm him, pulls him right down. And pass protection, really a sure thing no matter where you want to play him at. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers right now with Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, a couple guys that hold on to the ball a little bit longer, that's at a premium. Big fan of his game. I think he'd be a better run blocker on the interior than he is out in space. Really struggled with longer guys out in space when they got their hands on him. Couldn't get him off of him. I do think for the Steelers, you just got a darn good offensive lineman when you, for, you know, ever since those mid-2010s offensive lines, they started depleting.
Yeah,
they've never gotten back to that point. So I'll give it a B+, because I do think you're drafting an interior guy this highly when a wide receiver maybe makes a bigger impact for you. But I still think Fautanu's like, he's a darn good offensive lineman, man. To have him where I had him on the draft board means he's a pretty good player.
You had me at great snatch move. Donnie, you're a former offensive lineman. Did you have a great snatch move? How was your snatch?
No, or else I would have been probably a better player than I was.
So can you
Not a great snatch.
You demonstrate the snatch move? What is a snatch move?
I'll be honest, I think that's one of those newer words.
You've got to apply the snatch move. You know, you've got to like wait for somebody to do something and then
we
you
snatch
them. We
got a lot
of
offensive line experts out there. Could they call in and tell us what the snatch
move We might need
is?
A Kizora call in. I played football all the way through a year
ago.
If you saw
a snatch move, could you tell us that that's a snatch move? Say, that, hey, boys, that's a snatch. I've seen that before.
Tomlin on where Fautanu will play.
Right now, he's a tackle.
Is he center capable?
No, we're not concerned about that. We legitimately see him as a tackle.
And got introduced as a tackle by, or announced as a tackle by Hayward, so they didn't send it in as a guard or a center or just offensive
His
line.
Arms are long enough to play tackle.
His
I'm good
arms
with
are
it.
Longer than Joe Alt, who was the first tackle
his,
off the
his
board.
His arms are long enough to play tackle. I'm good with it, man.
Me too.
I'm good with that.
Try him at tackle first, and I think they're going to find a center tonight, Chris. I think they're going to have their cake and eat it too, just like last year with Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. I think they're going to double dip.
You know what the one thing is? I'm looking at like what Brugler wrote, and Brugler, to be fair, had him at guard. So he's saying disproportionately long arms to his body type, and I think especially for guard. But you have a guy who's a little shorter than your prototype at tackle with longer arms. Doesn't that strike you as sort of best of both worlds potentially? He won't be able to, or he won't get guys like Renner claims is going to happen or has happened too much getting to him early because the arms are long enough. And then you won't ever have tall guy syndrome, right? How does TJ Watt get half of his sacks? Again, when he's just beating the guy one-on-one. If it's a really tall guy, he just bends underneath him.
Well, James Harrison was the master of that.
Who exactly is going to bend underneath a guy that's only 6'3 and 3 quarters?
Let's get the Kuiper breakdown.
10th highest rated player on the big board. You get him at 20, and he can play anywhere. He's a left tackle and did a heck of a job protecting Michael Penix. Now, Roger Rosengarten on the other side, really good player at right tackle as well, protecting the blind side. But Fautanu is a guy as a run blocker, power, making contact, keeps those legs churning. gets in space with ease, no problem there. Pass protection, hands are active, punch is purposeful all the time. Feet enabled him to do a really good job mirroring. This kid is fun to watch play. He will get after you. He's got a defensive mentality. He's got longer arms than Joe Alt. So you think about this kid, is tackle out of the realm of possibility? No. Could he kick inside the guard and be a Pro Bowler? I've said that all night. Could he be a center and anchor this line? They've had Ray Mansfield, Mike Webster, Dermonti Dawson, Jeff Hardings, and Marquise Pouncey. Could he do that? Maybe. But this kid, for value and for a guy that is a stealer from a mentality standpoint, yeah, excellent interviews, great kid. Somebody said was a little bit of a knee question, but nobody really cared. Some of the teams, some maybe did more than others. 6'3 and a half, 317 pounds. Athletic, tough. Boy, I tell you what, to get a guy with this kind of versatility, with that stealer feel,
I like it. No one gives you more in 60 seconds than Kuiper. He never takes a breath.
His pacing, his cadence. How did McAfee's Kuiper impersonator do yesterday?
Well, they didn't have volume. You couldn't hear them for the first 10 minutes of the broadcast. And they didn't do any analysis on the Steelers pick. Belichick didn't say one word about Fautanu. They were nipples deep in
whatever.
Yeah, just other stuff.
I guess Belichick and Saban both got very, very high marks for their draft coverage. But I heard him... I guess they had Washington's GM, Adam Peters, on McAfee. And I guess they had the Kuiper impersonator ask him a question. And he, like, got through it. He asked him a real question. And the guy just said, I cannot take you seriously doing this right now. I can't even answer this, even though it's a real question.
You love to hear that there's a purposeful punch with Fautanu. The punch is there, and he's not just swinging wildly. He knows where he wants to land that massive Samoan fist.
Isn't Roman Reigns, one of his finishers was a Superman punch?
Yeah.
He would just jump up in the air and just punch the guy? That was kind of an interesting one. You know what I liked when I did watch highlight cutups? The one you put of Jeff Schwartz up today, talking about him. Jeff Schwartz, obviously an Oregon guy. He was our...
Jeff Schwartz loves him, and he...
He was our JPJ expert for draft pick of the day.
He thinks that he could play inside.
But I want him outside.
I know. They're all saying he can play inside. That he can...
But like that to me
be
is
the
like
utility
a,
man of the offensive line.
Okay, but that
line.
To me is a punt. He's valuable at tackle. If he can play tackle, which I think he can and will, then that's his most valuable position. But I loved when Jeff Schwartz put the clip out of him. You know what Steelers fans will like the most? This guy just appears to look for somebody to hit and block at all times. One of his big highlights was he wasn't even facing a pass rusher, so he destroyed a guy on a double team block. Panic scrambled around. He comes back around and gets a piece of a guy that was about to sack him to allow the play to continue.
We have a Troy Fautanu expert next. His name is Softy. Softy Maller.
Wait
from Seattle.
That's his first given name?
His name is Dave Softy Maller. He has hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. He is the voice of Washington football and the Washington football fan. And I've heard there is no bigger expert on Fautanu than our next guest, other than maybe that nice old lady that Fautanu hugged as soon as he was picked. Did you see that Hallmark moment last night, that Lifetime movie
there
moment?
Two ladies that were flanking
him
on the couch.
One was like you could tell she was...
Elderly?
She was like a golden girl. She was like a Samoan golden girl.
A golden girl?
Yes.
That's the first thing you think of?
She was like a Samoan
B.
Arthur.
But wasn't the whole bit with the golden girls that they were...
Rue McClanahan?
They were still
McClanahan, yes.
Yeah, but the thing with the golden girls was they were still getting after it.
She might be getting after it still,
Blanche
Chris. Don't try to... You know, I've said I'm going to retire from sex at 50. Let's not try to put a cap on her love life.
There certainly were some injury concerns. First of all, the Steelers are good with the injuries, but let's go over them. First of all, he had a previous ACL injury, some wear and tear potentially down the road, could need another surgery there. Then had a previous Lisfranc sprain. The foot is a little stiff, stable, but stiff. That's how a talented player lasts this long, guys.
We wouldn't select them if we weren't comfortable with it. I can't speak for some of the stuff that's put out there and what's true and what's not and, you know, what other people are saying. You know, we're comfortable.
Can we get a microphone on the people asking questions at these press conference, Steelers? Come on.
Do the Penguins do it? I feel like the Penguins is the one where you get like a Sullivan and you can hear every question. But, yes, we need a nice clear mic on the questions here. Please. We're begging here on this show. Help us.
Effusive praise for the pick of Troy Fautanu. We all were debating and discussing Amarius Mims and the generational talent, Graham Barton.
Double G, corners, generational Graham.
Corners like Quinyon Mitchell.
Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean.
Can we pick one
Brian
there?
Thomas Jr. Jackson Powers Johnson, all these guys. And lo and behold, here's Troy Fautanu falling into the Steelers' lap. They said he was, as you would expect, the highest guy on their board when they picked him.
That one actually strikes me as pretty likely to
Jerry
be true.
Jerry Dulac reporting he was in the top 10 when the draft started for them. And plan B would have been Barton or Tyler Guyton, but it didn't come to that.
Who do we thank for him being there? Probably the Broncos taking Bo Nix where they did?
Michael Penix to the Falcons?
I feel like Seattle was pretty connected to him, too. And they went
played
with
right there.
I was going to say, in their backyard, and they didn't go that route.
Our next guest is the greatest sports talker in the history of Seattle sports. And two former colleagues of ours would vouch for that. One, Vinny Ricicci. And our old boss, Jim Gracie, who used to be the voice of the Seattle
Supersonics. Yes.
I'm talking about Dave Softy Maller, who is a Troy Fautanu expert and was just tweeting me cut-ups of Fautanu laying waste to people. Hello, Softy.
I was just watching Vinny's podcast on Twitter the other day with his old KJR morning show mate, Michael Knight.
Ooh.
And you ever want to check out Vinny, he's available on Twitter. By the way, is this the radio show where Vinny talked about the national sport of Afghanistan?
That would be the one that precedes us, Softy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
I'll just check it.
Boy.
Yeah.
God bless New York Vinny, man. New York Vinny was at KJR when I started there 30 years ago. Sweetheart of a guy. One of the all-time greats,
man. Is it true
no
that
question.
Alex Rodriguez and Dan Wilson and those guys used to rub his belly for good luck?
That is absolutely true, and it's funny that Vinny, at one point in time, we actually had an idea for him that he actually, for some reason, said no to. When the Mariners played the Yankees in the playoffs in 2000, 2001, we said, dude, you got to change your name from New York Vinny to Seattle Vinny, and he wouldn't do it for some reason. So
that's
he's
like
got,
the Ravens stall, Steelers stall.
Oh, God,
sorry,
don't
Ballsy.
Even, yeah.
Right.
Did but he actually save the Mariners?
That national sport of Afghanistan, that was freaking hilarious.
That was one of many moments, Softy, with him
God.
That defied belief.
I'll tell you what, guys, it's good to be here with you. How you doing?
and again, give us a Troy Fautanu scouting report, Softy.
First of all, he's a stud, number one. Great guy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys in this game that have gigantic egos. He's not one of them. He is an awesome, awesome dude to hang out with. You guys will love interviewing him. He's a great guy, number one. Number two, he might be the most versatile offensive lineman in the draft. I mean, you guys were talking about Graham Barton and guys like that. Look, I mean, Graham Barton may be able to play all three interior positions. I don't know if he can play tackle. J.C. Latham may be a great tackle. I don't know if he can play guard. The kid from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, who I actually love, by the way, as a center, I don't know if he can play tackle in the NFL. Troy Fautanu can do everything you want him to do. He played guard at Washington. He played tackle at Washington. And I think he's actually, guys, to be honest with you, it's funny. There's a guy named Mike Giddings. You guys may know that name. He founded Pro Scout Inc. about 40 years ago. He has told us that he thinks that Troy Fautanu can be a Hall of Famer if he plays inside versus outside. Now, I have no idea where Pittsburgh's going to use this kid.
Tackle at first. Tackle
well,
for
there
sure.
You go. I mean, I just sent you a video of him just flattening Taki Taimani in the Pac-12 championship against Oregon where he comes inside and just lays waste to a 330-pound nose tackle and has him on the ground, clearing a gigantic alley for Dylan Johnson for a touchdown late in the game against Oregon in the biggest game of the year in Vegas. So he doesn't move like a tackle. He moves like a guard playing tackle. I think there's a couple things he's got to work on at the next level, but nothing that can't be coached, to be honest with you.
What about the injury concerns that seem to drop him on teams' boards? What's the deal there?
Yeah, nonsense. Complete nonsense. I saw that from Albert Breer the other day, and the first thing I thought is, well, it's the Monday before the draft. Somebody's putting that out there because they want Fautanu to fall. Are you kidding me? I mean, guys, the knee was never even talked about at Washington. Not one time.
He didn't miss a game the last 2 years. He never missed a game.
Yeah. I don't remember one game where he even wore a knee brace for crying out loud in Seattle. So I'm like, what are we talking about here? Are you kidding me? It's silly season. somebody's putting this nonsense out there. Hell, maybe Pittsburgh did it for all we know, because they want Fatano to fall late in the draft so they can get a guy who I think you easily could have justified taking this guy top 12, top 13 in the draft. So I saw that report from Albert Breer, and I just chuckled because, guys, that was never even a topic of conversation, not one time when he was here at Washington.
Softy, if you take him in the top 12, top 13, but you strictly took him at that position in the draft and you said he is a tackle, do you think that's a justified pick? If it's he's never going to play guard for you, he's only going to be a tackle.
Yeah, I do, because I think Troy Fautano can be a 10-year Pro Bowl guard for somebody. Look, I'm just telling you what Giddings said about the guard situation. I think he's a better tackle than a guard, but he did start off playing guard because Jackson Kirkland was the left tackle here for a while. He got banged up, and then Troy went to left tackle and pretty much stayed there for the duration of his career. But, you know, I just like to go back to the biggest games of the year when Washington played the biggest pass rushers, for example. Brandon Dorlus, Oregon. Jonah Ellis, Utah, guys like that, you know, Chatfield, Oregon State. These guys did nothing against Troy Fautano. Now, remember, he was not protecting Michael Penix's blind side in Seattle because Penix is a lefty. So the guy that really got the blind side protection was Roger Rosengarten, who was the right tackle. I think he's also a great player. But I think Troy Fautano, when you put him up against the best pass rushers the opponent had to offer, those guys' names never made the box score.
Softy Mailer, Troy Fautano expert, Troy Fautano advocate, and friend of Vinny Ricicci. Softy, thanks That's for right. coming on with us today.
Thank you, Softy.
Bye, boys. Anytime. See ya.
There you go.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.